As you can see, I have my high school letterman's jacket here with me today. Don't really wear this anymore. I remember back in high school, this was the thing to get, man. Saved up for it a long time. Get your name on this jacket and your letter with all of the sports and stars for varsity and your number. But man, come high school graduation, this thing gets retired to the closet. You don't see a lot of high school letterman's jackets on the college campus. And I think that these jackets are representative of the transition in our lives, where as we grow older, we outgrow things. Think back to your bedroom and what it looked like when you were in junior high. The different posters that were on the wall that aren't there anymore. The music in your stereo. The books on your shelf. The clothes in your closet. And how, if you've seen the movie Toy Story 3, the main character is going off to college. And he puts a lot of his toys in a box and he donates them. We all have a time in life where we graduate. And then we graduate again. And we graduate again. Life is a series of graduations. And just like we graduate from junior high to senior high and from high school to college, or if you're not going to college, the college age years, we graduate in a lot of different ways every day. I looked up the word graduate in the dictionary this morning, and one definition said to pass by degrees, to change gradually. And I like to think of every day as a graduation where everything about us is progressing by degrees, not just a degree that we get when we cross the stage on that commencement day, but the degrees of change in our life, the degrees of maturity. We go deeper as we go forward, and our bodies change, you know, the guys start having to shave more, and I didn't have to shave for a while. Some of you guys do pretty good. But our interests change, our ambitions change, our dreams change. And even our faith changes. The things that we outgrow, people outgrow faith too. People's questions change. And we graduate on to something more informed, more meaningful. You always have faith. Some people think that only Christians have faith and everyone else doesn't. But everybody has faith. In fact, there's a book out entitled, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Become an Atheist. But the point is that even atheists and agnostics have faith, because you're trusting in an explanation of the world. You're using that to live by. You believe it is true. So much of who we are is shaped and influenced by who we're around the most. Our parents and grandparents and guardians, our siblings and friends, our culture and media, our music and our movies. These things influence the teams that we root for and the politicians that we vote for, and the faith that we live for. And more than any other time in a person's life, leaving home is the most significant life-altering transition that you'll ever face. It's a time where you have to own your faith. And when you know there are tests coming up, it's best to prepare yourself in advance. The same way you would prepare yourself for your first political science exam. If you look on the news lately, there's been a lot of tornadoes down south. Back in Alabama, last I knew, there was over 300 people that had died. Imagine moving to Alabama right now. Or if you moved to Japan or Haiti. Or if you moved to New Orleans. Some of these places have a reputation for a certain danger. And so if you knew you were going to go to that place, you would prepare yourself for the dangerous storms that you might face. You would earthquake-proof your house. You would get a storm shelter and stock it full of food. You would make those precautions. It's the same when you go to college, when you go into the Air Force, the Navy, when you go into the workforce, when you start dating or start getting ready for marriage. You will face storms in life. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12, where Solomon said, "A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions, but the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." I want us to all be prudent people, wise people, tactful people, people who are aware, not walking into the future blindly, giving no consideration to what storms and dangers we may face. It's kind of like if you were to go out and buy a kayak and find a river. It would be smart to research that river to see where the dangerous parts are, if there's any waterfalls that you wouldn't want to be going over I looked in a stack of books this week. I know I'm just speaking here for 10 minutes, but I wanted to say something inspiring, something that you guys would find helpful. And I have a whole pile of books that are about owning your faith and life in college. In the book Own Your Faith by Mark Tabb, he says, "Your parents aren't there to watch over you. Your old support system didn't move with you. Temptations surround you. Beliefs and truths you've always taken for granted will be called into question." And number 5, did I mention the devil has us in his crosshairs? How can we take precautions? I think you probably already know. Have you ever approached a big decision in life or a problem and you asked your friends for advice, your parents for advice, people who've been there and done that for advice, and they tell you something that you feel like you've never heard before, and you have this epiphany, this breakthrough, and it helps you in your decision a lot, only to look back and realize that everything they told you was actually something you already knew? You ever had that experience? In fact, if someone asked you the same question, you may have at one time given that same advice to them. Why was it so revolutionary to you when you most needed it? Well, that happened to me last week. We had a banquet for the college students and the volunteers that help out in the ministry, and we had a speaker named Milton Jones that came in town, and I had a little downtime to walk around campus with him, and I said, "Milt, what would you do if you were me? Suppose you just moved here and this was the circumstance. What would you do?" And he said, "I would forget about impressing people with the biggest group you can get, and pick a handful of people, invest yourself in them just like Jesus did." And I thought, man, that is so true. I'm writing myself a note. I got to do this. And then I thought, I think when I applied for this job, I put that in my resume, my philosophy of campus ministry. I think that people have asked me how to start a campus ministry. I probably told them that before. And I knew it. But I needed reinforcement. I needed it to sink in deeper than it had before. I needed it to change me in a way it hadn't changed me before. And so as I was thinking about what I would share tonight, everything I read and all those books and the notes that I took, I made a list of things and I realized that this stuff you already know, but I want to tell you anyway, because I hope that it reinforces the things that you know. Sometimes we just need to hear the same thing in many times, in many ways, in many places, from many people. And it sinks in a little deeper, and a little deeper, and a little deeper, and it changes us a little more. And we just got to continue in that direction, one step at a time. So here's a couple verses where authors in the Bible are saying the same thing. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away." 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we've taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to excel still more." 1 Peter 1:12-13, Peter said, "I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live." We need reminders. God gave Noah the reminder of the butterfly, the rainbow in the sky, to remember his promises. Every Sunday, you may, depending on what church you go to, you may take the Lord's Supper, communion. Jesus said, "Do this to remember me." We need those reminders. And so, here's the list I came up with, and they're very simple. Grow closer to God. The more you're convinced that you need a Savior, the more you will appreciate the fact that God has provided one. You need to be convinced to the core of your being that you need a Savior. And you will appreciate the fact that God has provided a Savior. And that appreciation, that gratitude, is going to compel you to be faithful for the rest of your life. And sometimes, growing up in the church, there's pros and cons, advantages and disadvantages, just like there are disadvantages and advantages of not growing up in the church. But if you grew up in the church, you have the advantage of learning about God, who He is, having His Word inform your life, having people all around you that care about you and support you, growing up with good values. But here's one of the challenges that you might face, is that it's so familiar to you, you just might take it for granted. You just might not realize that there are people today being persecuted for doing what we're doing tonight. Being in the same room as other believers, praying, reading some scriptures. I encourage you to continue excelling still more in your relationship with God and being driven by gratitude. Another suggestion is to utilize the resources. I keep mentioning this stack of books. There's another stack of videos and websites. There's so many great resources. Inevitably, you're going to come to a question you've never asked before. And so, search for the book written by the person who asked it before you did. See what you can learn from them. But don't just despair in your questions. Another one is to identify the way you feel closest to God and do it. Seems so simple, doesn't it? I asked that question to a student yesterday at a coffee shop on Main Street. They're really struggling. I said, hey, how do you feel the closest to God? He said, when I'm with other Christians. I said, all right, do you feel close to God right now? No. Are you hanging out with other Christians? No. Hang out with some Christians, you know? Other people might say, I feel closest to God when I take a walk out under the stars, when I have my iPod with a playlist of worship music, when I read His Word. If that helps you grow close to God, then do it. Praying and reading God's Word are so important to do. And I want to encourage you to read the Bible. And what I mean by that is read the entire Bible. If you're going to college, set a goal that by the time you graduate from college, you'll have read the entire Bible. It's a practical assignment for you. Be involved in church, in a small group, and have a mentor. Those different levels of community. We need all three of those. A church in a corporate sense, where we have leadership and vision. A small group, where we're more known in a personal way and held accountable. And then having a mentor who disciples us. Be wise in your friendships, and if you date, do something great with your life. Find a cause to stand for and invest yourself in it. Go on mission trips, and it'll change you. And lastly, the last thing I want to say tonight is realize that you're college age. You're among the most receptive time period in a person's life where the most people lose their faith and the most people find their faith. And if you're someone who has found their faith and is going to grow deeper and deeper in their confidence of that faith, you are the same age as the most receptive people in our country. And so if anybody is in a position to influence them, it's you. And because of that, you'll be under attack from our adversary. But I want to encourage you. You may be pursuing degrees. Use those degrees for God's glory. And you may want to set a world record. You may want to invent something that's never been invented. But of all the things you could ever do with your life, someday, looking over your shoulder as we stand before God and knowing there will be people there because of you, because of your influence, that will be the greatest honor, the greatest achievement ever. And I encourage you to go into this next phase of your life as a missionary, wherever you go, and be intentional about making an impact for the kingdom of God.